Bibles, please open them up to Psalm 126. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I must say I like this new technology. I have my Bible on my new smartphone, and I like it. Glory to God for technology. Hallelujah. May it always be used for His glory. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's go back to the top. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. I know sometimes we feel like we are in captivity. And in a way, we are. We have earthen vessels. Our spirits soar once we come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In our spirits, we can fly, but we are earthbound. And praise God. You know, we should have these earthen vessels because God's glory is abounding that much more when people see that these earthen vessels can bring about such wondrous things as the preaching of the gospel. Jesus said that we would do works even more mighty than his. He raised the dead to life again. But because of our witness in him, we can bring the spiritually dead to life. Now, again, I want to stress, it's not us who do it, but it is the witness we bring. We are the earthen vessels of the power that God uses to bring those who are spiritually dead to life. And so, like Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of him and not of us. So glory to God. We have excellence in us through him. And so, having said that, we have earthen vessels. And in these earthen vessels, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I feel bound. I feel like a captive. Especially knowing what is waiting for us, not only in the millennial reign, but in the eternity to come after. I ache for it. I long for it. I am feeling homesick, as a captive must feel homesick. There are people right now who are imprisoned simply because of their faith. in the Lord Jesus. How homesick must they feel? We know people in prison who have committed crimes and are there lawfully feel homesick. They don't want to be in there. How much more so for those who have done nothing more than proclaim the gospel, than to offer that treasure in earthen vessels? And so, how homesick we feel, knowing that we have dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven. He promises us that in Ephesians, that we are seated in Christ at the right hand of God. Right now, we're there. In the Spirit, we feel it. In the Spirit, we can do as He invites us to do in Hebrews. He tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace. And we can in our spirits. But these bodies can sometimes make us feel bound or captive. But in that day, we will be like them that dream. These things that we experience now will be just a faded memory, like a dream after waking. It fades away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. In that day, our mouth will be filled with laughter, singing, joy. We'll do, like Paul says in Ephesians, we will sing the psalms and sing unto the Lord in psalms and songs of praise. I'm so not giving you that verbatim, but that's what he says. But in this day, in this time, even in our captivity, we must praise him. We must give him glory, even in the trials and the tribulations. Because that is what speaks to those who are currently lost. There are those who are even more in captivity than we are right now. Because they do not have the Savior. They do not have the Lord Jesus. They are bound by their sin and their sadness. I honestly do not know how people in the world go on day to day without knowing Jesus. I just don't understand it. I personally was raised in church, the Catholic Church, which doesn't emphasize the relationship with the Lord, and yet it still tells you there is something more to come after this life. But I got a saving knowledge. And maybe I was saved as a child. Maybe I was saved because I knew Jesus is the Son of God, and I knew he died on the cross for my sins. So even more than having a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, when I was an adult in college, I was still Catholic. And yet, the Holy Spirit came to me in that time and showed me that there's more than just reciting the Apostles' Creed. There's more than just occasionally hearing the Word of God read. There is a relationship to be had with the Lord. The Master, the Creator of all the universe, wants to know us. And that brings joy. We saw, I don't know how many of y'all watched the Super Bowl, but there was this kid in the crowd, Justin Timberlake. He's very, very extremely popular musician, singer. He went up the steps into the stadium, and people were just reaching for him and clamoring to give him a high five. And then he stopped next to this young man, and this kid was so flabbergasted by his idol standing next to him singing that he couldn't even work his phone to get his camera up to take a selfie. People saw him struggling with it. And people have, there's been all kinds of fun made about that. Like they are saying that he was Googling who is Justin Timberlake or stuff like that. Or his mom was telling him, hey, it's past your bedtime. You know, they were making fun of this kid. But he was just so awestruck by the fact that his favorite singer was standing right there wanting to take a selfie with him that he couldn't even function. That, to me, is how I feel when I think, when I really ponder and murmur on the fact that the maker of the entire universe wants to know me, wants to associate with me, wants to be right beside me, singing those songs of praise. And it just makes me dumbstruck. I know that's hard to imagine, me being speechless, but it just fills me up so much that I cannot even think. There's a song, Chris Tomlin, wonderful, wonderful psalmist, and he says, you're a good, good father. And in part of that song, he says, love so unspeakable, I can hardly think, let alone speak. I can't even think, because the Lord of this universe loves me and wants to know me. I mean, so many songs have been written about it. You know, we think about How Great Thou Art. When I look and I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, how great thou art, and yet you want to know me. Praise the Lord. How can we do anything else but praise the Lord and laugh? As Nola Jean led us today, ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. They said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. When people see us going through our trials and tribulations, still praising the Lord, still having a strength, they wonder, how can you do that? I have personally experienced this in this last situation with Mom, going through these last 3.5 months where she's nearly died more than once. And people have said, but you're handling it so well. I said, that's not me. I'm not handling it. Jesus in me is handling it. I have to give the glory to God. It's the grace of God who's helping me to stand and function in this, because if I had to do this in my own strength, I would be a puddle of tears and slobber on the floor. But God in me makes it possible. And so that is a witness. And so then the heathen can say, wow, that God does some good things for them. And then they can say, if we would tell them, actually, they can say, hey, He's for me too. So we need to praise the Lord. Lift him up. Praise him and lift him up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Nola Jean. She comes into my heart sometimes, into my head, when I'm feeling down, and I remember a praise and worship service, and I hear her singing, and I see her in my mind's eye just jumping up and down like she does, with the joy of the Lord, and knowing she does it sometimes when she is not well physically. She lets the Lord in her rise above that physical, lets the spirit rule the physical, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for praise moves, where I've learned so much of this word. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We are glad. How can the Lord, how can you not be glad when you know what the Lord has done? King David, he remembered, he wasn't king. He had a covenant with the Lord. Hold this mic really far away. He knew. He knew the Lord. The Lord had done great things for him. He went out to meet that giant. And people talk about the sling and the five stones. He only used one, but he brought five. But he also brought his staff. And people are like, what? You never hear about that. Well, because people don't go by the Bible. They go by a movie version or a Reader's Digest, abridged version. But look at it. He brought his staff. Help me. 1 or 2 Samuel 17, where David and Goliath fight. He brings his staff. Why does he do that? Because, and this is where it's so important to research the Bible. Look at these things. If you have a question, the Holy Spirit brings a question up in your mind while you're reading the Word. You know, I only ever heard about a sling and five stones or a sling and one stone. Why has he got this staff with him? Well, look it up. Research it. He's a Jew. Why do the Jews put so much weight on this staff? Okay, he's a shepherd. He was a shepherd. Why is the staff so important? He mentions it through the Psalms. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why can a big stick be so comforting? Because when you study the tradition of the Jew, the Hebrew, the shepherd boy, they keep a record on that staff. He carves into the wood. Killed me a bear today. Daniel Boone killed him a bear when he was only three. Well, David killed him a bear with a stick. Delivered a lamb from a lion's mouth today. He carved it in the stick. Starry sky, so glorious above me as I'm sleeping out here with my sheep. He carves it in that stick. So he has a record, a diary, if you will, of the things God has done for him. And so he sees that as you read in that Old Testament story of David and Goliath. You can see David is holding that staff out in front of him. Why is he doing that? He's holding the staff out here. He's holding the staff out here with one hand, and he's got the sling in the other. Why is he doing that? Because he sees the record. He sees what God has already done for him, and he knows he's got a covenant with the Lord. And this is a reminder of the covenant he has. So he can tell that Philistine, you uncircumcised Philistine, I am going to have your head today. God fights this fight for me. And I am going to cut off your head with your own sword. It's not talking trash when it's true. David had covenant, and he knew it. We have covenant, and we know it through a couple of big sticks and three nails. Look at the cross. That's our covenant. Sing to the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. We have covenant. So when the enemy tries to come against you with thoughts like, oh, you are no good. You're such a worm. Look what you did last week. That's not what a Christian does. Talk to the nail-scarred hand, Satan. I have covenant. Look at this big stick over here. Look at that stick going across it. Look at the blood on those big sticks. Look at the nails in those big sticks. I have covenant, and you don't. Praise the Lord. So we can fight whatever battles we must fight, knowing God has already given us the victory through the covenant we have. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Our captivity is almost ended, y'all. The 400 years in Egypt, almost done. The 70 years in Babylon, almost done. God is getting ready to open up the gates, break off the chains. We are free of this world, of this earth, and our citizenship will be heavenly only. Hallelujah. We are strangers in a strange land. But we know we have a home, and we're headed that way. Our good shepherd is coming for his sheep. And we will be led into that sheepfold. And along the way, we can tell others. We can sing the songs of gladness and share the strength that he has given us with the heathen. All heathen means is unbeliever. Well, let's make them believers. Not by what we tell them, by what we show them. Show forth your praise with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's not easy. It is not easy to show forth that praise sometimes. That's why he tells us, offer up the sacrifice of praise. Because sometimes when you're praising the Lord, it isn't pretty. I have sung to God with tears coming down, what the world calls ugly crying. Snot, spit, I'm crying. Why not now, God? Why not now? Well, now is, God is in the now. And he's in the waiting. And then you turn it around. You know, David had his why not now moments, but then he remembers God is in control. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is too often, in our opinions, not our timing. But he knows what he's doing. Remember what he's done for you in the past. Be like David. Hold up that stick, that diary, that journal. Remember what he has done. Look at the cross. If that's all he ever did for us, that is more than enough. Hallelujah. But it is not. He is our source. He's our provider. He does great things for us. Hallelujah. Let us be glad. Thank you, God. As we sow in tears, we shall reap in joy. What are we sowing in our tears? What are we sowing? Look at verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. The Lord tells us that the seed is the word. Look in Mark 4, he tells us the parable of the sower. And the disciples asked him, what does this mean when you're casting this seed on the ground and the crows come pick it up, or it lands in good ground and it brings forth fruit? What are you talking about? Jesus said the seed is the word. We bear God's word. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Seed is his word. We hold God's name above every other name, and rightly so. But do you know he holds his word above his name? Eddie, help me. I can't quote the place, but he says he holds his word above his name. Thank you, Noah Jean. Psalm 138, verse 2. He holds his word above his name. Psalm 138, verse 2. and his word is a seed. We need to sow that seed. Go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And then it says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. Shall. That word shall, it's not just will, it's absolute. That's going to happen. Shall means it's done. Carve it in stone because it's done. Shall, doubtless, without a doubt, come again with rejoicing, sowing in shadows. Sowing in noontide and the dewy eve. We will come rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. As we hold forth the word of light to those who are in darkness, they come. There are seeds sown which we may not even know about. We may never get to talk to some of these people, but they see us and they know we have something. They know we have the Lord. As we go out there and we say, by God's grace, this is the only way I can do this. It's the Lord. He is my source. He is my anchor. His strength is my joy. However you may do it, however you may witness, whether in word or in deed, it's a seed sown. And then you reap. When people call on that name of Jesus and are saved, we'll come again with rejoicing. You know, when we're there, that day is coming. We'll be there, and our works will be judged. They'll be put in that fire, and the chaff will be separated from the wheat. And that chaff is going to be burned up, but there's wheat. There's wheat. There's the seed sown. And there's going to be people come up to us and say, you may not know this, but I saw you doing this. You were having a really hard time, and yet you kept on just keeping on. And then you said it was the grace of God. And I never got to talk to you about that, but I knew you were for real because you just kept saying it's God. It's the Lord. I have an example of this. We lived in a trailer up on Stick Ross Mountain Road. It was a pretty rough trailer park. That landlord did not take care of his property as well as he should. But people were desperate. That's where desperate people go, is they don't have the money to go to a decent place. Praise God for Lloyd and Nola Jean. I thank God that we get to live there with them. That is a great place. Heavenly Acres. But up on Stick Ross Mountain Road, this person did not take as good a care of his property as Lloyd and Nola Jean do. And there was a lady who moved in down the row. And she couldn't afford a phone. She could hardly afford to have her water turned on. She didn't even have electric. She had the water. But she didn't have electric. She was desperate. And one day she came to us and she said, I need to use your phone. May I use your phone? We said, sure. We hardly knew this lady. It was high and by every day getting the mail, you know. And she moved out. Shortly after she used the phone, she moved out of the trailer park. And we didn't know anything about her from then. And then years later, We go into Jimmy's Egg for breakfast. And she's working there. And we didn't recognize her. She's working there, and she comes over to us, and she goes, you may not know me, but you let me use your phone one day. I was being beaten. My husband was drinking, beating on me, and me and my kids, we needed to get out of there. But I didn't have any way to go, any way to get out. I needed help, and I didn't have any way to get in touch with my family. But you let me use your phone. And so they came down from Tulsa, and they came and got me out of there. And I was able to get my own place. And I was able to get my kids out of that situation. We had no clue. But we gave God the glory. We said, praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're out of that situation now. And we give God the glory for that. So it was a tiny little thing. May I borrow your phone? Saw you praising the Lord. I heard you say, it's the grace of God. Little things that we don't even think about, but God uses them. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Sow in tears. We were going through a hard time ourselves. If she's going through a hard time, we were in the same trailer park as she was. We were going through tough times too. We had lost our house, lost our job. Mom was getting sick. We had no idea how sick she was going to get. But God still used us to help that woman. You don't ever know how he's going to use you. Don't try to determine how he uses you, because you're his vessel to be used as he wants you to use. We studied 1 Corinthians 12 today. He gives the various gifts according as he pleases. All we are to do is to go forth, whether in weeping or in joy, go forth and sow that seed so you can come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. And you will. Maybe you've never led anyone to the Lord by praying the sinner's prayer with them, but you are still a witness day by day, as the Lord told us, as you go. So go. Praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Showing forth his loving kindness. Fill your mouth with laughter and your tongue with singing. Say among the heathen, the Lord has done great things. So that they, the heathen, will say, the Lord has done great things for them. Not everyone we are praying for is going to come into the rapture. Not everyone we're praying for is going to be delivered out of the tribulation that is to come, the great tribulation. And it's a hard thing to realize. How do I know that? Because I'm praying for all the lost. But the word tells us not everyone is going to receive what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And it is a hard thing. Not everyone is going to be freed from this current captivity of these earthen vessels. But plenty will be. Plenty will be as we go out singing God's praise, as we go out with joy, even in our tears, slinging our snot and spitting our spit and wiping our noses, praise the Lord, even in the trial. That speaks to people more than praising Him on the mountaintop. And you can praise Him in the valley. That speaks to people. There's a famous couple who are in evangelism. Famous couple. I'm not going to name names. They had trouble conceiving. They had trouble even. She could not. She did, but I think they have a couple, three children, but she had many miscarriages. And they were famous at the time of this latest miscarriage. And they were going out of the hospital because, you know, they had raced her to the emergency room because she had had the bleeding in her, I think it was her fifth month of pregnancy. And sadly, that baby was lost to this earth. The baby grew up in heaven. They knew that. But they were sad because they had lost this life that they were looking forward to raising in the Lord. And a nurse there followed them out of the hospital when she was released. And they said, look at this now. Look at what God's done for you now. You still praise Him? You still think He's great? And they just turned around. That's a shocking thing to say to somebody who's just experienced a trauma that way. Somehow, they were able to dig deep and remember what God has done for them. And in the Holy Spirit, they were able, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, they were able to tell her, yes, we still praise the God who made us. As Job did, we praise Him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that woman received Christ right there in that parking lot because of their witness. In tears, they sowed, but they reaped with joy. We just never know what will speak to someone. Never know. But if we let the Lord use us, speak through us, and if we do as David did, if we praise the Lord, let our mouth be filled with laughter and our tongues with singing, then says the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. You don't have to be up here preaching. You don't have to be the worship leader. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12, He has different ministries, but all come from the same Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit use you as He will, and then leave it to Him to do with you as He will. Leave the results to Him. Leave the harvest to Him. Plant the seeds. Let the Lord reap. You may lead one or two to Christ. You may end up like Billy Graham and lead millions to Christ. But let God do it. Because all the glory belongs to God. The glory doesn't belong to Billy Graham, and the glory does not belong to me or you. All the glory belongs to God. There was a man walking on the beach, and he saw another man who was picking up starfish, many, many starfish on the beach. And the sun's coming up. And these starfish are going to dry up and die on this beach. And this man is picking up starfish one at a time, throwing them into the surf. And this guy tells him, "What are you doing? You there's no way you can save all of these starfish. I mean, there were dozens, if not hundreds, of these things." And he just picked up another starfish and threw it in the water. And he says, "But that one is saved. I can't save them all, but I can give all to one." So it doesn't, you might think your efforts are not much, but God can take your little and make it great. It can mean everything to one. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. Remember, as David did, to fill your mouth with laughter and your tongue with singing. Then they will say in the world, "The Lord has done great things for them." Or, "I don't know what they got, but I want some of it." God will show them the way. Let your light shine. And let God be the one responsible for the direction it leads and those it shines upon. It's all about Him. Amen? Hallelujah. God, we praise You and we thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, that You use me. Help me continue to be this earthen vessel You have shaped me to be. And Lord, get glory. God, get glory. The excellence of the power is Yours. Holy God, praise You and thank You, Father, in Jesus' holy name.